Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to the study of the Gospel of John. We are on lesson number 4 today, which I've titled The Mystery of New Birth and the Plan of Salvation. I'm going to do an overview firstly of chapter number 3 of the Gospel of John, then look at the key revelation, which is the key scripture in that chapter. Then I'll conclude with 5 lessons that we get from this chapter, and I believe you'll be blessed by them. So get your notebook, get your Bible, let us flow together in the Word of God. Now in chapter 3, which picks up from chapter 2 that we were looking at yesterday, we see here from verse 1 to 13, Jesus meets with a man called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a teacher of the law. And because of his status, he didn't want to be seen going to see Jesus. So he goes by the night. That is why we have a statement that says Nicodemus. It means someone who goes behind or in hiding or not wanting to be seen. Nicodemus went to see Jesus in the night. He had questions that he had that he desired to ask Jesus and get understanding, and that drove him to ask or to seek Jesus even at night. Now verse 1 says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can perform these signs you are doing if God is not with him. So Nicodemus had a revelation when he saw the signs, the works, the miracles. He understood that no one can perform these without the presence of God, or without God helping him. Even though he was surrounded by people who were against Jesus Christ, but when he looked at it, he had revelation that this man is of God. So he went to see him. Then Jesus begins to speak to him, and he takes him on, not in the way maybe you would have expected. Maybe after that, such a statement when he says, I know you are from God, you have the presence of God. He expected Jesus to say, yes, you are a spiritual man, you know divine things. But Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. This key word is introduced by Jesus. These are the words of Jesus himself. And he tells Nicodemus, it's not a matter of being a teacher, a ruler in the synagogue, or carrying a title. It is a matter of being born again. And Nicodemus is confused. How can I be born again? He had never heard such a teaching. He has been teaching the law for years. He was a senior man, but he had never heard anything about being born again. And he says, should I enter my mother's womb again so that I can be born again? Now, that word again in Greek can mean twice. It also means from above. So Jesus was saying, "You, unless you are born from above," which means when you're born the first time, you are born from earth, and there is a birth that is from above. And Nicodemus says, how do I enter back? And then Jesus says in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Now, the first time Jesus says, unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom. So many times people think that seeing is talking of just looking. But that seeing talks of entering. It's not seeing just by perception. It is seeing because you have entered. That is why verse 5 then he emphasizes that no one can enter unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And there are some schools of thought on that. When Jesus says by water and the Spirit, and one school of thought says by water means the natural birth, because whenever you are born naturally, there are waters that break. I remember when my wife gave birth to our children, one of the signs that she's getting into labor is when a water breaks. So it talks of birth by water. Then the spiritual, which is by the Spirit of God when you are born again. The second school of thought is being born by water or of water talks of baptism. At that time, John had come and he was baptizing people unto repentance, which talks of repentance. You had to go into the water as a sign that you have repented. And then there is the second, which comes by the Spirit of God. And Jesus says, unless you are born of these, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I lean towards this first school of thought, because verse 6 then says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. So you see that you are born first of the flesh, but a person needs a second birth, which is of the spirit. Our first birth is of the flesh. In John chapter 1, we learned that Jesus, who became flesh, but the Bible says, not of the will of man, nor of blood, but of God. So he was born not of the will of man or of blood or flesh, but he was born of the will of God by the Spirit, which talks of the new birth, which talks of being born again. Verse 7 says, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Jesus further emphasizes that it's not an option. No matter you're a Jewish leader, no matter who you are, no matter your background, your family name, your position, you must, not you may, you must be born again. He says the wind blows wherever it wants. You can hear it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. Whoever is born of the Spirit is like that. Hallelujah. What a teaching, what a mystery that Jesus unveils, that a man can be born again, that there is new birth of the Spirit that qualifies us to enter into the kingdom of God. And once you are born again, and the kingdom does not begin when you go to heaven, once you are born again, you enter into his kingdom. You are part of his dominion. And this dominion includes those that are here on earth currently and those that are in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, Nicodemus then says, how can this be? Jesus says, you being a teacher of the law, how come you don't understand? I've told you natural things. How about if I told you heavenly things? How are you going to perceive it? Nicodemus came to the place where he saw that he had limited revelation and understanding. But what a blessing that he went to inquire himself. It is a blessing to sit at the feet of Jesus. You have done well to connect to this exposition of the Gospel of John, and I believe your life will never be the same. From verse 14 to 21, we see God's plan of salvation. Jesus then continues to talk to Nicodemus. Now, what a blessing that John records this conversation between two people, Nicodemus and Jesus, but it carries great power. The message of new birth has transformed lives and families all over the world, but it is recorded between a conversation of two people, Jesus and Nicodemus. So Jesus then goes on to teach Nicodemus what it will take for someone to be born again, the plan of salvation that God had for mankind. Because Nicodemus could not understand, he could not relate with what Jesus was saying. And Jesus expounded further, and he then took him and says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes must have eternal life in him. So the story of Moses, there's a time Israel sinned and God sent snakes to bite them. And when they cried out to God for deliverance, what God told Moses is to create a serpent of brass, and whoever looked at the snake of brass would live. He put it on a pole. Now, God did not give them medicine to say, drink this medicine and the poison. No, no. The salvation was in looking and that brazen snake, and it typified the coming of Christ, one who would hang on the cross and be lifted up. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus that salvation and new birth is in Christ, who will be lifted up on the cross, because we have been bitten by the snakes, Satan, and this poison of sin is in our blood. The wages of sin are death. We are sentenced to death. But if we are to live, we have to look unto Jesus. Then there comes that powerful verse, which I believe is the most quoted verse, potent, powerful verse. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. We'll come back to that verse. So Jesus continues to expound to him and says, whoever is believed in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, he is condemned because he has not believed in the one and only begotten Son of God, and teaches that many have run away from the light because of their evil deed. So you see here the plan of salvation of the world is unveiled, and this is the channel for being born again. It is in Christ Jesus. Now from verse 22 to 36, we then see there the testimony of John. Now, after this encounter with Nicodemus, we hear a story here that the disciples of John then come to him and say, the one you said, behold the lamb. You remember in our previous lecture, when John saw Jesus Christ, he says he is now baptizing more people than you. You see, these people had a competitive spirit. They were saying to John, you were the one who began ministry first. You were here before Jesus. How can this guy that you introduced now is attracting crowds and more people than you? And they wanted John to be bitter against Christ or to begin to fight. But John understood his position and why he had come, because he had said, I have come to prepare the way for the one who would come who is greater than I. Hallelujah. Now you hear him then replying and saying in verse 27, a person can receive only what is given from heaven. You yourselves can testify, I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. Then he gives an analogy of the bridegroom. The bride belongs to the bridegroom, and those that are there to accompany the bridegroom are happy when he gets to meet his bride. That's their purpose. He says in verse 30, he must be greater and I become less. Other versions say he must increase and I must decrease. So John knew his place, that he was there to prepare the way. He says, I must be less and he must be greater, because he is greater. He was not trying to compete, but he understood his place and his purpose. Hallelujah. The one who comes from above is above all. Verse 31, the one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one of the earth. And there he's talking about himself, that Jesus is from above and I am here from the earth. And he then continues to say, for the one whom God sent speaks words, for God gives the Spirit without limit, without measure, speaking of Jesus Christ, that he had the Spirit without measure. So you see here John giving a testimony about Jesus Christ and testifying that he is the one that God has sent and has given him a Spirit without measure. He is from above. He speaks the words of God. Verse 36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. This is John testifying. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So eternal life is in the Son, but those that reject the Son will not see life. Amen. Let's look at the key revelation, which is in the key scripture of this chapter, which is John chapter 3 and verse 16, a common verse but nonetheless a very powerful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave. So the love of God is manifested in the gift that he gave. And it was the best gift that he could give. He gave of himself his only begotten son. That is why in Romans, Paul goes on then to say, if God did not spare his own son, Romans chapter 8, how will he not give us all other things? How will God not surrender all other things if he gave us the most precious gift? That whosoever believes in him should not perish. So Jesus came so that we do not perish. We were perishing. We were perishing in sin and death under the yoke of the devil. But Jesus came to stop and to deliver us from that state. And for us to be delivered, the Bible says whosoever. Whosoever means whosoever. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your name is, your background, whosoever believes will not perish. Hallelujah. But have eternal life. That is why John says, the life, one who believes in the Son has eternal life. Life, abundant life, Zoe, the life of God is in Christ, but it can only be accessed through faith. Five lessons as I conclude from this wonderful chapter. Being born again is a requirement to enter the kingdom of God. And this came directly from Jesus. It's not an option. He says to Nicodemus, you must be born. Not you may. You must be born again. New birth is a requirement for entering into the kingdom. One must humble themselves, believe in Jesus, and be born again. It's not a Pentecostal or charismatic or evangelical teaching. No, no. It's a biblical teaching. These are the words of Jesus. You must be born again. You might have been going to church, attending church, have a position in church, but you have not been born again. Today is your day of salvation. Make a decision to receive Jesus and be born again. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Romans chapter 10, you shall be saved. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died and rose from the dead. Forgive me of my sins and wash me clean with your blood. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you believed and prayed that prayer, you are born again. Hallelujah. Stay connected. You learn more of the word. Find a good Bible teaching church that believes the word of God that you can grow in fellowship. Lesson number two, the Holy Spirit is the power behind new birth. You have to be born of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that empowers you to be born again. That transaction, when Mary, you read the other Gospels, is told that she will have a baby. She says, how can it be? I have not known a man. And Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. She brought forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what happens when you're born again. You pray that prayer just now. Naturally, it looks like everything is still the same. But the Spirit of God was present to work a miracle of new birth. This is the greatest miracle. That a man grown up, a woman grown up, can be born anew. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What a blessing the Holy Spirit is. Number three, the third lesson, believing in Jesus is the key to salvation and eternal life. Believing in Jesus, not believing in a person, someone else, a certain prophet, believing in a certain ancestor, believing in a certain theory, or believing in a certain teaching or philosophy. No, all that has no salvation in it. It is believing in Jesus, the person, the Son of God. That is the key to salvation. not to sophisticated principles. No, believing in the person, Jesus, the Son of God, is the key to salvation and eternal life. That is why we must preach Jesus and testify about Jesus, because it is when we testify about him that people can believe in him and they are saved and they receive the gift of eternal life. It says the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Lesson number four, divine gifts are released from heaven as God wills. As John testifies, he says, nothing can be received unless it is given from above. So you must understand that God has to determine, no matter what is here on earth. Now, if things were dependent on people, many of us would be disqualified. But thank God there is no election whether God should bless you or whether God should anoint you. It is determined in heaven. Good gifts come from above. So our focus should be on that which is above and not that which is earthly, because God releases from above. He can use people, and that is how he operates. But the determinant of the gift is God from above. So even though Jesus was baptized by John, it was not John who gave him the gift. The gift came from above. Jesus submitted at baptism and the gift came from above. May you receive divine gifts from above in the name of Jesus. Number five, we must lower ourselves and glorify Jesus. We learn this from John. He says, I must be less, I must decrease, and he must increase. If we are to make an impact, we have to lower ourselves. Greatness in the kingdom is when we humble ourselves like little children and lift up Jesus. There, God will lift us up. When we humble ourselves, God will lift us up and elevate us. So we are called to a place of humility and to glorify the King of Kings, who is Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for unraveling the mystery. Thank you for your word, oh God, that shows us the mystery of new birth, that God, without being born again, we cannot enter. Thank you, Father, for someone who prayed the prayer of salvation today. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for new birth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is working in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for good gifts from above that you are releasing, anointings and graces. Father, we humble ourselves and say, let Jesus and him alone be glorified and honored, for his name is a name above all other names. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. What a blessing. We thank God for this wonderful time. Stay blessed. Let's connect tomorrow.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev IT Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.